Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right, I need y'all to smile at me.
Y'all happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I bring you greetings from the sunshine state of not Georgia, but Florida. The family and I are up this week. We've been here since Monday, helping a young man of your church move from one spot to the next. He needed some extra muscle to get through this move, so I brought his three grandchildren to help out this week, and so we got them all moved in, all straightened out, and after I speak today, we're going to get back on the road and head right back down to Florida. So we ask your journeying mercies prayers as we head back down to Florida. I actually also ask your prayers. I'll be back up this side next Sunday. I'll be speaking at New Horizons Camp, and so I'll be back here for that. So I ask your prayers for that as I prepare for 5 days of messages and then head back home. I also actually pray for my wife because this happens to also be the week that school starts. And so she'll be responsible for getting two elementary school students to school, and I have a high schooler starting this year. So so pray for our family. As new transitions, as God is still leading, as God is doing great things, just continue our prayers for our family. Amen?
Amen.
I'm always glad to be here at Good Tidings. It's just nostalgic to just be here and remember where I came from. It's going to be funny. Our boys are not used to a two-hour service, especially the younger two. They're normally in a service for worship, and then they go off to their own service that happens. And so there's been a lot of questions that have been happening during this time. And so I'm sure on my journey back to Florida, there's going to be a question like, why did you do this? And why did we do that? And why did this happen? And why did this happen? So thank you very much. I'm always glad to be here because I feel it's a place that I can let my hair down. I always think about it as coming home and be able to go right into the refrigerator. And just share what's going on in life and being more transparent. I always dreamt of being standing here, or even I enjoy sharing God's word. Amen. I enjoy sharing how God has been impacting my life. I enjoy showing the smile on my face. As Brother Walter said earlier, I love keeping a smile on my face. I had a friend recently. One morning I got up and unfortunately I had gotten on, well, I say unfortunately, but it was a blessing. I had gotten on Facebook that morning as I was getting ready. And I didn't know that Facebook alerts other folks when you get on. Like there's a little green dot that pops up and tells how many minutes you've been on. I just learned that after doing that. But this friend called me that morning and she was like, brother, I saw you was on. And I was like, hey. And we haven't spoken in years. And so she just began to share with me. She said, you know, one of the things I enjoyed about our friendship and even the time that we were spending in Boston and your wife was that you always had a smile on your face. And I take for granted, I think a lot of us take for granted when we have a smile on our face. I think we take for granted that the joy of Christ is in us and our smile should always be there, regardless of what it is. If we're going to sing these songs that we've been singing this morning, if we're going to shout amen and talk about give them all or victory is mine, how do you walk around with a frown on your face? It doesn't make sense. And so when I come back here, I'm always glad because I want to share with the people who have impacted my life, who have taught me and who have given me the opportunity to stand here right now, that the reason why I can actually share God's word is because there's people in this room who have shared God's word, who have shared their lives with me, and because of that, I can stand here and give and share God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Walters, I want to actually give a testimony on you, because my wife is here today. Many years ago, before I was married, I was preparing to get married, or preparing to get engaged. And one day I was sitting in front of the church I was in Boston and just praying God down. I was like, God, I don't have the money for this ring. And I'm like, God, I need this ring. I need this ring. And one of the things that Good Tidings has blessed me with is because you guys always encourage young men to come up here and stand, whether it was to give a testimony or to preach or whether to sing songs, I've had the opportunity to MC different events. One of the ways that you have seen me and impacted that is when I was going to camp. And I would lead what was going on at camp. So I'm preparing to get engaged. I'm like, God, I don't know how this is going to work out. And a number of emceeing gigs came into my life. Like people call and say, hey, I want you to do a back to school rally. I wanted you to do this rally. I want you to do that. And they were playing very well. But it's actually two. So it's two families here I have to speak about. I got a call to do Dr. Uter's daughter, Stacy's 16th birthday party. And I came and I emceed that one. And then her best friend, Kimberly, had her sweet 16 party, and Brother and Sister Waters called me to do that one. And so I came and I did it. I believe I did a great job, and I actually know I did a great job because here's how the story ends. So Brother Waters pays me that during that time. And every time I got paid for an MC gig, I would go to the jeweler and be like, here's another check, here's another check, here's another check to pay for it. And I was down to the last payment. And I came to visit Good Tidings. And apparently, I did such a good job, Brother Waters pulled me again and greased me up one more time. And that was the final payment for the ring. So, Brother Waters, thank you so much for that. As you can see, she's happy. And she's here. Y'all ready for the word?
Yes.
All right. Turn with me, if you may, to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. Is the lapel on? All right, I'm going to read this up here, and then you guys mind if I get comfortable and make my way down? Are you expecting me to come down? All right, I'm going to make my way down eventually, but we're going to read God's word, and I'm going to make my way down. It's on the screen, but I know I've encouraged my boys to actually open the word of God, so if you have it in front of you, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not reading the screen, but you have your word open, say amen. All right, here we go. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war, and you shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Amen? Let's turn to chapter 7, verse 1. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. Bear with me with these names. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Last verse, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. If you're in Sunday school, you might know this one. Let's read it together. But seek first the kingdom of and his, and all these shall be. Let's do one more time. But seek first the kingdom of and his, and all these, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for life. We thank you for breath. We thank you for bringing us out here that we can worship your name. Lord, as we have cried out to you in song, as we have cried out to you in testimony, as we have cried out to you by reading back your own word, Father God, we just ask that you open our hearts and our minds for what you have prepared for us today. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We adore you. And we pray that you see this through our lives. But Lord, draw us closer to you right now as we come before your word. It's in Jesus' name we do pray, and we all say amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to ask you for a favor. Can I be transparent?
Yes.
Can you be transparent with me?
Yes.
Don't say yes. I struggle every day trying to be as close to God as I possibly can. Every day. It's one of the things that hits me hard each day, because as I walk, as I talk, as I interact with my children, as I interact with my wife, as I interact with my dad, as I interact with my siblings, as I interact with anyone I'm there, I pray that God is seen in me, but I know each and every day I struggle. God, I want to be more like you. You know, it's funny just being here, because one of the things that we were taught was come in our Sunday best. Truth be told, the only time I put on a tie and a suit right now is to come to see y'all. Church at home, we could be in a polo with a pair of jeans and go to church. But I'm trained to come and put on our Sunday best. And truth be told, Sunday best is not just the suit that you have on, the skirt or the dress that you have on. It's sometimes the look you have on your face or what you say each time you walk through these doors. I'm blessed and highly favored. Nothing is wrong. I'm doing fine. But we all know, or at least I'm being transparent right now, I struggle. I struggle. God has been great in many ways. But yet, I still struggle. God has shown up in my life many a ways, but yet I struggle. Do you struggle? We just read a story. It's one of my favorite stories recently, because in my own life, I got to see this same thing kind of happen. Joshua is here with the children of Israel, and they're about to take this city. Now, we right now know in America, we are bullies. We go and show up at different places, talk about we're going to blow stuff up, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But this story right here does not require missiles. It does not require guns. It doesn't require sticks or stones. These people about to march around a city to see the wall fall down. Now, I know if I was to go around with the microphone right now, many of us share testimonies or miracles in our lives where God showed up, and it shouldn't have happened the way that it's happened. I'm going to share a story that I believe I've shared with you before, but I'm going to share it again. Several years ago, when I was working in elementary school, I had a situation where I got fired from an after-school program because I didn't follow their rules. I didn't necessarily, let me clear that up, because there's kids in the room. I want to make sure how I was following the rules. I believed, running an after-school program where parents were paying, that if you're paying for the child to be there to 6 o'clock, they want that homework done. Parents in the room? Okay. Homework got to be done. 6 o'clock. You're paying hundreds of dollars, homework should be done. This organization wanted me to do them 30 minutes of homework and then let them play for the rest of the day. I didn't agree. Now, the other side of it was I was also a nice guy. I really wasn't collecting the money the way I should have been collecting it. I had a hard time with some of these families, so there was a struggle back and forth. But they showed up one day, and they were like, Mike, you're fired, on a Monday afternoon. So I was like, all right, cool. It became a big argument between my principals and this organization. They said they want to have a meeting. And these people seemed like they were setting up to shut me all the way down. But they don't realize my roots come from J.A. And I was setting up for them till 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm writing something. My wife telling me to come to bed. I said, no, I'm setting up for these people. All night setting up for these people. Went to bed. I was ready for this meeting on a Wednesday morning. Got up, washed my face, looked in the mirror, heard God say, I need you to be quiet. Excuse me? I need you to be quiet. Wash my face again. I'm like, maybe I'm hearing things. I need you to be quiet. I'm driving to work, which was a 30-minute ride. I need you to be quiet. Okay. I get to it, and again, I'll be honest, I was not going to listen. But I got to work, and I was in an office that I normally wasn't in that morning, and the science teacher walked in who happened to be a woman of God. And she just walked in and put her hand on my head and said, let him speak when he needs to speak. Let him be quiet when he needs to be quiet. She didn't know I had a meeting that morning. She did that. That's all she did. She came in and prayed that and walked out. I said, all right, God, I got you. Now, men in the room, give me a grunt. Oh, no, come on, there's more men in there. Give me a grunt. Okay. Machismo, ego, whatever you want to call it, was kicking in. I'm sitting in a room with two women for me on this side, two women against me and a man on this side. You know, ego's kicking up. All this talk is going on. I'm sitting there like this at the table. I hear good things about me on this side. I'm hearing terrible things about me on this side. And I'm sitting there. And the whole time in my head is like, say something, say something, say something. Jump in the conversation, say something, say something. And the words are flying back and forth. All of a sudden, the people who are against me said something. Let me back up. It was only supposed to be two people there in the meeting. The third person, the third woman that was there, was a Caucasian woman who was the executive director of the place. She just decided to come to the meeting. So the words are flying. She's not really saying anything. Words are flying. And all of a sudden, the folks who were against me said something that backed them in a corner. And one of my principals said, well, isn't that your responsibility? And they were about to fire back. And the executive director said, she's right. It is your responsibility. And all of a sudden, this conversation turned all the way on them. And I'm sitting there like this. What is going on? And also, all the negativity is over here. I'm like, what is going on? And I'm going like this. And I'm like, oh. And the whole conversation ends. And the executive director sat there and she goes, Michael, I would like to hear from you right now. So I shared. I said, I admit my fault. And I shared what I said. I said, listen, I believe these parents are paying for this homework to get done, not for these kids to play. And she was like, I agree with you based upon what you said. But she said, I tell you what, this. I came because I thought you were going to show out. You heard me? I came because you were going to show out. But you conducted yourself properly. You admitted your fault. I would like to rehire you on this day. Fired on a Monday, rehired on a Wednesday. Jericho Wall. Jericho Wall. To have a situation where God shows up for you. A wall ain't supposed to fall down with people marching around it. A wall not supposed to fall down with you blowing a horn. But they take the city. God is good. Somebody said, God is?
Good.
God is?
Good.
Okay. As the story goes, we didn't get the chance to read it, but God tells the children of Israel, do not touch the accursed things. Do not touch it. Before I even go on that some more, we all have seen God show up in our lives with great power. We heard Pennant give a testimony that the cancer is no longer in his body. Amen. You know, it's hard for me also sometimes when I hear those things because sometimes I feel like with my own mom, I left some prayers on the table. But I thank God for that. I can't blame him for that. Matter of fact, there's been some great things that happened because she's gone that I had to experience myself, even though I would love for her to be here and see these great grandchildren that she got. But we as a church should have been jumping for joy when we heard that testimony. So we see great power, but yet we struggle. Because somebody in the camp decide that even though I saw great power, I still want more. I still want to be disobedient. I still am going to do my own thing. If we know the story of Joshua, if you go back in Deuteronomy, you see here Joshua hear these words many times. Be strong of good courage. Joshua got the opportunity to watch Moses. Moses get a chance to see the promised land. I'm pretty sure Joshua just sat there and was like, everything you did that wasn't good, I ain't going to do. Matter of fact, there's a scripture that says Joshua was of great wisdom because Moses prayed over him or blessed him. But I'm pretty sure that's also saying that Joshua was like, all right, I got it. We ain't doing that. Tell me to talk to a rock, I'm going to talk to the rock. God tell me to strike it, we're going to strike it, but we're going to do everything correct. The main scripture verse is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We struggle. We struggle each and every day, but God is saying, seek my kingdom. So often we want to be like Achan. It's funny, but when we look at Bible stories, we look at it, we want to be David, we want to be Joshua, we want to be Jacob, we want to be all the great ones in here, but a lot of times we are Achans. Because as great as God has been in our lives, we still choose to do the wrong thing. One of the things, as I'm looking at this, I know there's a lot of older folks, but a lot of y'all on here on TikTok or Facebook, Instagram, don't raise your hand. Just wink at me, nod or something like that. Don't reveal yourself that. But I realize in this world right now, we all are drawn to success. A lot of things that you're hearing right now is be successful. That you can make a quick dollar by doing this, that, the other thing. That this greatness that you can manifest. I'm still working on my way on around that whole manifest thing. That you can manifest what you want and have it. And nowhere in it do I hear God is in it. I can make it myself. I can imagine when Achan saw all that was great there, he was like, I can make it myself. I don't need you, God. Or maybe better yet, he might say, God has this for me, even though God said, don't touch it. Many of us, if we took the mic right now, if we wanted to be that transparent, we would say, hey, there's times that I can hear God clearly say, don't touch it. But it looks so good. It's got to be right. We feel that we can endure whatever. God, even if I decide to take it, you fix it. You fix it. Yes, this car's too much for me to buy, but hey, somehow you will make a way. Even though you heard him say, wait. Wait. I've been mulling over this verse, Matthew 6:33, for a while now. Almost want to do a whole lesson. It's almost my back. I want to do a whole series called Back to Basics and go and talk about how first. It's amazing how us as the God, we lose out on the discipline that we so often talk about. We sing these songs, we say all these things, yet the discipline is not always there for us to serve God appropriately or correctly. God is asking us to seek his kingdom. What does that mean? Aggressively go after what God wants. Pursue what he has for your life. Not what this world wants to give you. Because in front of our faces all the time, you turn, matter of fact, we walk around, all of us have a phone right now that when we walk out of here, when we wake up in the morning, when we do that, we look at this thing first. I'll be the first one to say I'm guilty. I'll get 2 hours, 3 hours into my day and go, God, I didn't read your word first, but I know what the whole world is doing. I know what somebody across the world is doing right now, whether they're getting dressed with GRMW? Get ready with me? We all seen that. Oh, what they wearing today? What they putting on today? We know what everybody, 5 or 6 influencers are doing that morning before we actually pick the word and say, God, what you want me to do today? How do you want me to impact the world today? Did I get those acronyms right? Is get ready with me? Yeah, okay. But the scripture says, Matthew, but seek, what's that word? Oh, okay. But seek. Seek. Seek first. Seek first. You wake up in the morning, God, what do you want? You know, when I was thinking about this, I was like, I'm coming to give a testimony. I don't care. Look, y'all know me. Some of y'all knew when the diapers were on. Y'all seen me with braces. Y'all seen me that before I got married or anything else. You've seen that. So I'm coming to give a testimony. I want to seek first. I want to encourage you to seek first. Because I know it's nothing new under the sun. We all go through it. Whether we turn on the TV, whether we turn on our phones, whatever it is that we do, whether we get on a phone call, seek first God's kingdom. Pursue that first, aggressively. Seek is a very simple word, but it just means an aggressive pursuit. Finding out what God wants you to do. I'm not even worried about the last part, but all these things shall be added. God, what do you want first? How do I practice the discipline of understanding what you want first? So my application to this is, how do we develop this discipline? How do we develop this discipline? How do we condition ourselves for this to happen? You know, so when we move to Florida, it's hot. It's just hot. You just don't want to be outside. It's hot. It's hot. And so when I got there, I tacked on some weight. I got as far as 250 pounds. You didn't say, whoa. You didn't say that. Love you, brother. And so I got to a program that's called 75 Hard. 75 Hard is seven things that you got to do for 75 days. If you miss it on any one day, you have to start all over again. And so for 75 days, I did these seven things, right? It was anything from drinking a gallon of water to reading 10 pages of a nonfiction book, doing two exercises a day, sticking to a diet. I'm missing a couple of others in there, but you get the point. When I finished it, I got down to 209. I'm about 215 right now, so I started eating again. But I finished about eight books during that time, in that 75-day period. I drank a lot of water. I mean, to the point right now, my primary drink right now is just water. But one of the things that I got used to doing was food prepping. So every Sunday, I would come home. I go to Walmart with $10, at most probably $15, and I'll buy the meals for the week. I'll cook rice and chicken, vegetable and chicken, and eat those things. And one of the results of that was getting down to 209. But I love the discipline of Sunday afternoon after church, going to the supermarket, getting the food, sitting there cooking it, getting it ready. I packed it all up. At the time, I was working at elementary school. So I have it all under my desk in the fridge, and I could eat that. And then people will come to me, why you eat that? Why you do that every day? What's going on? And they've seen the results. One day, the principal stopped everybody in the office and said, does anybody know why Allwood is losing all this weight? And when I told them, everybody was like, no, I can't do it. Especially some of them, I said, one of the things is no alcohol. So the minute I said that in the office, they were like, okay, no, we can't do this. We can't do that. But when I finished it, it taught me something. I said, we need discipline. This wasn't a weight loss plan. This was a discipline plan. And then I said to myself, well, then how does this impact the kingdom? Can I create something here? I could be that disciplined where I'm reading your word, God, or I'm starting my day with prayer, or maybe doing a prayer group, or being involved in something where, God, you come first before anything else. So my encouragement to you today is, how do you get this discipline? How do you get this discipline of seeking God first? We all need that. Because a lot of our confusion comes from the fact that everything else gets convoluted, and then we come and look for God to fix everything. We feel guilty that we didn't start the day with you, so now we start beating ourselves up and going, well, should you even listen to me? Would you ever make this happen? But one of the reasons why I believe God allowed me to bring this here is, here's a place that I learned. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the company of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law what he did dwell day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water with his fruit in his season. We can stop right there because that's what I want to be. That That's what you should want to be. It's here that I learned. I look to what's coming, my help. My help comes from the that is in me. So how do I dare frown? How do I dare start my day with something else? How dare I say, God, you are so distant from me because I didn't start my day. I start my day with you, so that is in the forefront of my day. When I get into a situation, I can say where my help comes from. I can say all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not something that just whispers, something that just pours out of me. How do we get to that place? We diligently seek after God. We make it a priority that we go after God. Thanks be to God that he still never leaves us nor forsakes us. Because even as I'm saying this and I say I struggle, God is still with me. I couldn't give a word like this if he wasn't with me. I would come here right now and I'd be with a frown and say, somebody pray for me and help me. But I can still stand before my people and say, hey, seek God. He still wants to be with us. The joy that you see, the smile that you see is him. But seek him every day. Seek him first. Jonathan, this one's for you. I think about, I wasn't going to give you a name at first, but I gave you a name already. Jonathan is my passionate one. Parents in the room, you can interpret what that means. In our house, we have Roku televisions. You know what that is, right? Okay. None of the boys are without a television. Everybody can watch. Blessed are they. Whoever got in the room first to get the remote, control the remote. They all can watch TV and be on their own television. But for some reason, they keep walking away or hiding the remotes. Now, if you have a Roku television, you realize one remote controls all the TVs. But they keep hiding the remote. And I'm like, hey, y'all don't have to hide the remote. Everybody got their own TV. But they keep hiding the remote. Well, eventually I came to the point where it's like, if the remote can't be found, all televisions got to be shut off and everybody got to help to find it. And that brings on a lot of passion that happens during that time. There's a lot of aggression that comes out during that time. And the middle one just tends to show the most aggression. And a lot of times the floor gets banged. He's sitting on the floor and he's crying his eyes out. I want to watch the television. I want to watch the television. Now, most of y'all in here, if you don't grow up with me, you heard of the, you heard Rocksteady. Nod your head. Okay. Those of you who know, if you don't know who Rocksteady is, see somebody who's nodding their head, they'll tell you what that is. What that was in the Allwood household. My father recently asked me, he was like, do you use a Rocksteady or the sequel Bedrock or whatever in the house? I don't. I said, see, back in the day, when you used to do that, if I go to school, teachers applaud you. If I go to school and they say, I SWAT team fall from the sky and come to the house and see what, and ask me a lot of questions. So I got different methods. So I let the aggression go. The aggression is going. When it calms down, I come in. Normally, Jonathan's laying on the floor and his head is buried in there, and it's the worst day ever. I don't care what it is. I could have took him to Six Flags, and that TV remote's gone. It's the worst day ever. So I was like, hey, have you tried to look? I looked everywhere in the TV room. I looked everywhere in the playroom. I said, you sure? I just can't do it. And normally, on about two or three occasions, right where he was laying on the floor, I sit down on the couch and just put my hand right under the couch. And what do you think I touch? About 2 inches from his head is the remote. See, Miles is laughing. That's us. God is 2 inches from our head, and we're not seeking him right there where he is. But we're getting a temper tantrum. We're mad about everything in the world. There. God is right there. I don't know who needs to hear this, but seek God first. Aggressively pursue God first. And then look at the reward. And all these things shall be added unto you. Whether you wanted it or not. Great when we read the stories that Joshua got out that pit and became governor. It's great when we read the story that Job lost it all but got three times more at the end. It's great when we read the story. When we know the conclusion of the story, it's great when we read that word. But we are living out the same things right now. David is known as God, the man after God's own heart. It says it in the word about Joshua. That Joshua looked great only because he saw God. People of God, if I could encourage you, if you could encourage me, let's seek God first. Put the phone down. Put the phone down. And even as I say, it's even weird to hear myself say it, because I know I'm going to go back over there, I'm going to pick up my phone. It's got to go back in my pocket. I'm taking it back to Florida. But I know I'm going to pick up the phone, but what is it to actually have a discipline of, God, I'm going to seek you, so I can see the miracles. So the Jericho's in our lives right now, those walls begin to fall down because I sought your face first, God. I didn't go through a temper tantrum trying to figure out where you are, and you 2 inches from my head. If you're here today and you are confused about what I'm saying, it might mean that you don't know or do not have Christ in your life. And I like the fact that Brother Waters brought up the smile on my face, because I want you to understand the only reason why I smile is because of Christ. Kirk Franklin had a song, the reason why I sing, the reason why I smile is because of Christ. Even though I say today that I struggle, I still know he's in my life. So I say today, and I encourage you to seek God, he's in my life. I know he's there. Just like the Planet Fitness is in your neighborhood and you know you need to go there and work out, it's there. God is here, and he wants to be in your life. And he makes it simple. All you have to do is confess with your mouth, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come in my heart and save me today. Today. If you believe and in your heart, God saves you today. Don't leave here today, whether you come to see myself, one of the elders in the building, one of the gentlemen that's here, anybody who's in your row that you have seen them cry out, amen. If you are here today and you do not know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I urge you the most, get him into your life today. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the stories and that you have pulled together in your word, that we can see how you operate and desire to operate in our lives. Lord, your word says for us to seek you first. I believe each one of those words is not a mistake. That's what you want us to do. You want us to seek you first. So, Lord, help us to develop the discipline to find you first. Before we pick up that phone to call a friend, to complain, before we get on the phone to find some motivational speaker, before we get on the television to find something else to distract us, Father, help us to seek you first. As we depart here today, Father God, we just ask that wherever we may go, Lord, you just continue to be with us. Allow the light that's you to shine forth from our lives, that somebody may come to know you as Lord and personal Savior. But we thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. It's in Jesus' name we do pray, and we all say, amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much.